What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valenti and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
Hey. All right. Good morning to you. Welcome into the Mark Cox Morning Show as we're making last-minute adjustments even as we go on the air here in a temporary studio this morning. So we apologize. I do have some good news. We just got the Rumble feed up live. We've been having some technical difficulties this morning, but we did figure out how to do that. Carl Middleman did it. Thank you, Carl, for that. And Armando, our engineer who was in this morning helping out.
Once again, trial and error, Mark.
Up live on X and Rumble this morning, and that is good news. So if you're on Rumble, the Mark Cox Morning Show, type it in, no spaces, and you can find it, then hit the follow button, and it'll alert you, I believe, whenever we take the show live. You have to sign in to be involved in the live chat, but other than that, you can watch the show. So we're glad that you're here with us this morning on this Wednesday morning. Lots to get to. Genevieve Wood coming up from Heritage, and we're going to get to Lieutenant Colonel Alan West, one of my all-time favorite guests. Love getting him on here. We'll talk a little bit more about for his reaction on the reaction so far to two murder attempts on Donald Trump. It's been an underreaction, a muted reaction, in my opinion, and we'll find out his take on it here coming up at about 7:35 this morning. Here's a question. We got Scott Jagow in studio with us this morning, in for Kim St. Ange, who is vacationing this week. Carl, would you say Kim picked a good week to be on vacation?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, Carl's been doing a great job over here trying to figure out some new technology, even
Mark.
Run this morning. Thank you, sir. We appreciate that. Somebody said to me, Carl's seen so many different broadcast boards. Why is this one such a challenge? I'm like, it's like going from, a V8 engine to some kind of drive on Star Trek.
The
control panel looks a little different.
No, it's not that. It's just that we're used to one way, and I just need to get used to doing this. We were promised some things would be fixed today, and they are not.
Well, we're not having as bad a day. I guess there would be a tie yesterday for who had the worst day. Was it P. Diddy or Hezbollah?
Yeah.
What do you think?
That's a tough one.
that would be a tough one, I think. And not only that, but it would be a tough one for P. Diddy. Or whoever is, hold on, Carl, you know what's happened here?
No.
I was watching the Rumble feed, and therefore, when I turned the audio up on my computer,
there it went.
You heard my voice in echo, but I think I fixed
just
that problem.
Just for like a half a second.
What else I found is that anybody who's been associated with P. Diddy probably also had a bad day yesterday, maybe like this guy.
Yeah, I appreciate y'all. Thank you. And I just want to say how much I appreciate Puff Daddy for doing the kinds of work that he's doing, because he doesn't have to do this. But this is part of what is important about giving back.
Since we applaud you, and I want to apologize for not sweating, but I do this so much. I'm so cool. I just want y'all to see everybody I'm interviewing is sweating.
Yeah, that's Barack Obama buddying up with P. Daddy over the years. I saw a picture yesterday of P. Daddy with his arm wrapped around two women.
Puff Daddy. Sean Combs is his name.
Sean Puff Daddy Combs. He had his arm around
two
women.
Well, right now it's probably going to be prisoner number 6, 7, 9.
I think you're onto something there. Anyway, I saw the picture yesterday and he had his arm wrapped around two women, and one of them looked very much like Kamala Harris. And that picture was taken down shortly after I saw it. So I don't know. I'm just saying the internet is forever. So
wow.
Chances are you'll see that picture again. So everybody wants to avoid any connection to the guy now, like Weinstein, right? They were all buddies with him until he got busted for being a pervert. So there you have it. I don't know. That was a bad day. Let's get to our top stories, Carl.
The Mark Cox Shortlist.
A little while ago, I got a very nice call from Kamala. No. It was very nice. It was very nice. It was very, very nice, and we appreciate that.
Yeah, booze last night. I don't know. The attempted assassination happened on Sunday afternoon. Last night was Tuesday night. Did it take them a while to track down his phone number? Why did it take so long for the sitting president and vice president and presidential candidate to get around to calling their opponent to say, oh, I'm so sorry somebody tried to kill you for the second time?
It is just as troubling to me to hear about fake stories of eating cats and dogs as it is to hear fake concern by our sitting president and almost nothing from the Democrat who wants to lead us.
How about that? It looks like I'm not the only one bothered by it. That's Chris Cuomo of the famous Cuomo family claiming that he's disgusted. He apologized to Donald Trump for the fact that nobody in the mainstream media or on the Democratic side seemed to be taking seriously these assassination attempts.
There is a very real possibility at this point that there is a mole within the Secret Service team.
Yeah, former Navy SEAL Eli Crane there talking about the extra precautions Donald Trump needs to take now that this has already happened a couple of times.
I mean, this is a course that the president plays on a regular basis, by the way. This isn't like it's some new place that he parachuted into. He lives right next door, and the shooter's there for 12 hours and nobody notices?
That's Josh Hawley obviously talking about the same thing that a lot of people have been mentioning. That we have this Ruth guy who we're now told owns property in St. Louis, in case you missed that breaking news yesterday, owns a vacant piece of property somewhere in St. Louis. Not that that's relevant to anything. I don't know that he has any other ties to the area beyond that. Was in Ukraine, trying to recruit soldiers to fight for Ukraine. Longtime hater of Donald Trump. Lived in Hawaii. Clearly didn't have any clear source of income. Unless maybe it's rental property. I don't know what he's doing to make money.
Yeah, an empty lot in St. Louis. That was his income.
Yeah, but somehow picked up a $1,500 gun with a $1,000 sight and knew to position himself outside of a golf course 12 hours before the president was going to play golf. And that was a decision that wasn't made until 12 hours before the president decided to play golf. What are the odds? I mean, I think Josh Hawley and all of the members of Congress, Republican and Democrat, should stand up and demand answers. Go to cut 15, please.
Well, I don't know how you can say it's effective when the shooter was able to be there on that golf course for 12 hours, Laura. I mean, this is a course that the president plays on a regular basis, by the way. This isn't like it's some new place that he parachuted into. He lives right next door. And the shooter's there for 12 hours and nobody notices? I mean, what really is going on here? It is of a pattern that we saw dating back to the Butler rally when that shooter was allowed to get on that rooftop and there was supposed to be law enforcement there and they weren't, and there was supposed to be law enforcement on that perimeter and they weren't. So we have a problem here, to say the least, and I think it's time for Secret Service to tell us what is going on, why all of these failings, and what are they going to do about it?
Yeah, it's a fantastic point by Senator Hawley. I'm glad some of the voices that are amplified in this country are asking that question. Coming up, we're going to get to Genevieve Wood. Did you hear Kamala Harris the other day question Donald Trump and claim that late-term abortions are not a thing? Well, they've done a little bit of fact-checking themselves at Heritage. We're going to check in with Genevieve coming up.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valenti and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
If Donald Trump were to be reelected, he will sign a national abortion ban. Understand, in his Project 2025, there would be a national abortion, a monitor that would be monitoring your pregnancies, your miscarriages.
The stars at night are big and bright. deep in the heart of Texas.
All right, Genevieve Woods, Senior Advisor at Heritage, is on the phone with us right now. Genevieve, welcome back. How are you?
Hey, good morning. Good to be with you, Mark.
Yeah, good to have you. Thank you very much. We're just glad to have you because we're in a temporary studio today and we weren't sure the phones were going to work. So we're glad that you're on the air, to be honest with you.
What year is it? 20 what?
Yeah, I know. But technology is great and we're getting some new technology. We just have to adjust to
it. Awesome.
Yeah. So I played that bite from Kamala Harris because I specifically remember during the debate a week or so ago, 2 weeks ago now, I guess, that Kamala Harris looked at Donald Trump and said, that is a lie. There are no late-term abortions in this country. Those don't happen. And thankfully, somebody at Heritage decided that they were going to go out and fact-check that a little bit on the Daily Signal and said, indeed, they are happening every year.
They absolutely are happening, and they're happening in District of Columbia and several states across the country. And it wasn't hard. I mean, you can Google that, Mark. It's not hard to find the facts on these laws. So the fact that the ABC moderators, number one, not only said, well, we don't know if that's true or not, they literally said that what Trump said was not true. Like, they fact-checked him, but yet they clearly had not even Googled the information. They had a position they wanted to be out there. They wanted people to believe, and so they just went with it.
I want to read the paragraph from the Daily Signal story by Elizabeth Troutman Mitchell this morning. About 0.9% of abortions in 2021 were performed at or after 21 weeks, when the baby can survive outside the womb with proper medical care, according to the CDC data. Now, since the CDC tabulated 625,978 legal-induced abortions in the 48 states in 2021, that means abortionists killed at least 5,600 babies who were at or beyond 21 weeks of gestation in that year alone.
I mean, it's just the facts. And Kamala loves to say that. These are just the facts. But yet she doesn't know the facts. And she doesn't want to... I would encourage people to go to the story. It's on the front page of the Daily Signal website this morning, because it's got a number of facts in there about this thing. And the other part of this, Mark, that I think people need to realize is, you know, when they say, well, Roe v. Wade, and she's like, well, I'm just for the Roe v. Wade position. That was the Roe v. Wade position. The Roe v. Wade position was that you could abort a baby up until through the ninth month until the baby was born. And that's why you had states over the past 50 years, especially in the last 10 to 20, as we learned more and more about babies and their development and that they could feel pain at certain stages and that babies were able to survive, you know, earlier and earlier outside the womb, that how barbaric this procedure was. That's why you had so many states coming forward saying, you know what, in our state, we don't want to allow abortion after 3 months, or we don't want to allow abortion after the time that we know a baby, like at 16 weeks or 15 weeks, can feel pain. That's why you had states trying to change the laws. But so when Kamala Harris says, well, I just want to go back to the old Roe v. Wade, you know, dates, what she means is, I want to go back to when you can take the life of an unborn child up until the moment it's born.
Well, we've got that issue on the ballot here in Missouri this year, Amendment 3. And we're out there every day reminding people to vote no on it because it's huge. It is we think that it would maybe even allow transgender surgeries and for minors. I mean, there's so much language in there that's just wide open that we have no idea what we're getting, and they're spending millions of dollars to try to get it passed here.
And all these groups, so many of these groups come together to pass these kind of laws. Same thing happened in the state of Kansas and others where it's not even just about abortion. It's like you said, they try to cram in a lot of other things that people don't realize is in there. You got to read the language very carefully. And because then you think, oh, I'm voting for one thing. It turns out to be completely something different.
Boy, it's true. Genevieve, love having you on. Thanks for your time this morning. Glad
it
worked.
Thank you, sir. Alrighty.
We'll talk to you next
Hopefully
week.
In the new studio next time. All right. Yeah,
exactly. All right. Thank you very much. Good to get to Genevieve on this morning. All right. Just a reminder, my voter guide is going to be out next week, in case you're wondering. We'll explain all these things for you if you have any questions. Up next, Lieutenant Colonel Alan West. I want to get his take on how they've been downplaying these attempted murders of Donald Trump. We'll be back in just a minute.
We have to start always with energy, always. I don't want to be boring about it, but there's no bigger subject. It covers everything. If you make donuts, if you make cars, whatever you make, energy is a big deal, and we're going to get that. It's my ambition to get your energy bill within 12 months down 50%. If I can do that, we've done a hell of a job. 50. Interest rates are going to follow, and actually they're going to follow for another reason. The economy is now not good.
There was the president last night. Some of his comments with Sarah Huckabee Sanders when he did his live event with her. He's not dodging the media. He's taking questions for sure. All right. Let me get to my guest. Before we get to him, Carl, go to my favorite soundbite of all time from Lieutenant Colonel Alan West.
If you're feeding a person a crap sandwich with a smile, it's still a crap sandwich.
That is one of my favorite bites of all time. In fact, we had Colonel West on the phone here just a second ago, and now I don't see him. Colonel West, can you hear us?
Yeah, I hear you. I think I got dropped off. You want me to call back on a different line?
No, I think we're just going to go with it this way, if that's all right, sir. How have you been?
I'm great. How are you doing?
I'm doing fine. You know, I played a bite from President Trump's speech last night with Arkansas Governor Huckabee Sanders talking about what he can do with the economy if he gets back in and all that. In the meantime, you've got Kamala Harris not only not taking any hard questions, but going to, I guess, the National Association of Black Journalists, where they sent her a bunch of softball questions, and once again, she gave us zero policy.
Yeah, I mean, it's a continuation of the same thing. I don't know how many times, we have to hear that she was raised a poor middle class, child. It kind of reminds me of Steve Martin in the movie The Jerk, when he said, "I was born a poor black child in Mississippi." But we're not getting any specifics. And I don't understand what an opportunity economy is, because, the government is not there to provide us opportunity. The government has set the conditions for us to create opportunities for ourselves. And again, it's just the same old rhetoric that we have heard from Barack Obama, from Joe Biden. And as a matter of fact, her economic policies, I guess we figured out it was cut and pasted from Joe Biden's policy. So this is not a new page. It's going to be turned. And she's going to continue to try to expose herself to the, like you said, to the easy layup type of journalist. But when you look at President Trump, we know what he did with the economy. We know what he did with our oil and gas industry, our energy security. We know what he did with our border security, our national security, our foreign policy. So I think that right now what he needs to do is continue to talk about the things that he did while he was president and ask the American people a simple question. What are you voting for? Because I don't think anybody who says they're voting for Kamala Harris can answer truthfully what they're voting for.
They're just voting against Trump in large part, right? I mean,
that's absolutely correct.
That's
not a reason to go out and vote.
No, it shouldn't be. It shouldn't be. You know, on the murder attempts here, two of them now, I would call it unprecedented, but somebody reminded me the other day that there were two attempts on Gerald Ford's life in a very short period of time as well. So it's not unheard of, but in this day and age, we should have the technology to protect a presidential candidate. And all we get from the White House and from Kamala Harris after the second attempt was, we don't support violence. Nobody should condone violence. That's all you got out of them. I want to know why Joe Biden didn't call Donald Trump immediately and say, you're going to get a full contingent of Secret Service just like I get every day.
Because they are the ones that are inciting this violence. I mean, you continue to call Donald Trump a threat to democracy. That's what she said during during the debate. You continue to allow people to go out there and call, Trump a Hitler. And you look at some of the things that have been said by these media talking heads and pundits. I mean, I even saw one gentleman on one of these leftist news programs say that you got to put a bullet in Donald Trump. So if you're calling someone and denigrating and comparing them to Hitler, then eventually some of these deranged minds are going to do that. Look, I cannot understand how there was not an outer perimeter security sweep done of the Trump International Golf Course. And I lived in South Florida for 10 years after I retired, and that area was part of the congressional district that I represented, so I know that area very well. And why could they not do that simple task? This guy was there for 12 hours, okay? This was a planned ambush of a president, of the former president of the United States of America and a Republican candidate. These are, you know, shortfalls. These are failures in the Secret Service. And I'm not demonizing the individual agents because they're doing the best that they can do, but something with the leadership is not going right. And we have not heard from Alejandro Mayorkas, who heads up, you know, he's the one that's in charge of the Secret Service with Homeland Security. So my recommendation to Donald Trump, go out there and get you a bunch of special operators, you know, former pipe hitters, and just hire them as your security detail.
Yeah, I think that's a fantastic idea. You know, I'm looking at some of these races across the country. I'm interested because you're now operating it down in Texas, and you know, it's a border state. It's got a large number of immigrants, both legal and illegal, living down there. Hopefully none of the illegal ones are voting. But how are things shaping up down there? What's being done in Texas this election cycle?
Well, without a doubt, the most important thing for us, and I'm the chairman here at Dallas County, which is one of the large metroplexes here, the left has come into a state like Texas and taken over the major urban population centers, Dallas, Houston, Austin, San Antonio, El Paso, and we have to have the pushback against that. We've got to ensure that those illegals aren't voting. We've got to do what is necessary to go in and, you know, do a review of the voter registration, voter eligibility rolls. We have got the Dallas County Elections Administration. Every single month, he has to post the updated voter eligibility roster. And our precinct chairs, they break that down and they go and they start to do a canvassing of some of the folks within those precincts. And we're finding out the quote unquote ghost voters, the people that are there on the eligibility roster that don't belong. Another thing that's very disconcerting for us is that they're going to be registering homeless individuals here in Dallas County. They say that's part of the state law. So we're going to our state legislature. Say, hey, look, you cannot have homeless people registering to vote and, you know, voter registration cards showing up at soup kitchens and, you know, church shelters and things of this nature, because we're talking about people that don't have ID. Who's going to verify who's picking up these voter ID cards? But right, without a doubt, we've got to focus on the issues. And again, we're getting into the different demographic backgrounds that a lot of times Republicans don't talk to. Yesterday, I was with the Kurdish Americans. We're having an event down in South Dallas with the Black community, Hispanic community, Ethiopian community, Indian community, Jewish community. With the American Jewish Conservatives just stood up here in Dallas, Texas, as well as some of the other communities, because we've got to get all of these people energized and understand that, you know, your safety and security and your future and education of your children is at risk.
Yeah, or we're all going to be Springfield, Ohio before long if we don't pay attention, right?
Yeah, and many of these cities all across the country are being overrun by the dumping of these illegal immigrants. And one of the things that I want to share with you, that please get it out to everyone, you have more single military age male illegals in this country right now than the entire active duty force of the United States Army. That should be very disturbing to Americans.
It is. First I've heard that. That is disturbing. Lieutenant Colonel Alan West, always a pleasure having you on, my friend. Thank you.
Thank you. I'm sorry that I called on the wrong number.
No, don't worry about it. We made it work. We appreciate that. We've been rolling with the punches this morning. Thank you. Appreciate that.
Lieutenant, God bless.
Yeah, Lieutenant Colonel Alan West there on Carl Middleman's cell phone this morning. So that was perfect.
We have to start always with energy. Always. I don't want to be boring about it, but there's no bigger subject. It covers everything. If you make donuts, if you make cars, whatever you make, energy is a big deal, and we're going to get that. It's my ambition to get your energy bill within 12 months down 50%. If I can do that, we've done a hell of a job. 50. Interest rates are going to follow, and actually they're going to follow for another reason. The economy is now not good.
There was the president last night. Some of his comments with Sarah Huckabee Sanders when he did his live event with her. He's not dodging the media. He's taking questions for sure. All right. Let me get to my guest. Before we get to him, Carl, go to my favorite soundbite of all time from Lieutenant Colonel Alan West.
If you're feeding a person a crap sandwich with a smile, it's still a crap sandwich.
That is one of my favorite bites of all time. We had, in fact, we had Colonel West on the phone here just a second ago, and now I don't see him. Colonel West, can you hear us?
Yeah, I hear you. I think I got dropped off. You want me to call back on a different line?
No, I think we're just going to go with it this way, if that's all right, sir. How have you been?
I'm great. How you doing?
I'm doing fine. You know, I played a bite from President Trump's speech last night with Arkansas Governor Huckabee Sanders, talking about what he can do with the economy if he gets back in and all that. In the meantime, you've got Kamala Harris not only not taking any hard questions, but going to, I guess, the National Association of Black Journalists, where they sent her a bunch of softball questions. And once again, she gave us zero policy.
Yeah, I mean, it's a continuation of the same thing. I don't know how many times, we have to hear that she was raised a poor middle class, child. It kind of reminds me of Steve Martin in the movie The Jerk, when he said, "I was born a poor black child in Mississippi." But we're not getting any specifics. And I don't understand what an opportunity economy is, because, the government is not there to provide us opportunity. The government has set the conditions for us to create opportunities for ourselves. And again, it's just the same old rhetoric that we have heard from Barack Obama, from Joe Biden. And as a matter of fact, her economic policies, I guess we figured out it was cut and pasted from Joe Biden's policy. So this is not a new page. It's going to be turned. And she's going to continue to try to expose herself to the, like you said, to the easy layup type of journalist. But when you look at President Trump, we know what he did with the economy. We know what he did with our oil and gas industry, our energy security. We know what he did with our border security, our national security, our foreign policy. So I think that right now what he needs to do is continue to talk about the things that he did while he was president and ask the American people a simple question. What are you voting for? Because I don't think anybody who says they're voting for Kamala Harris can answer truthfully what they're voting for.
They're just voting against Trump in large part, right? I mean, that's
absolutely correct. Yeah, that's and that's not a reason to go out and vote.
No, shouldn't be. It shouldn't be. You know, on the murder attempts here, two of them now, I would call it unprecedented, but somebody reminded me the other day that there were two attempts on Gerald Ford's life in a very short period of time as well. So it's not unheard of, but in this day and age, we should have the technology to protect a presidential candidate. And all we get from the White House and from Kamala Harris after the second attempt was, we don't support violence. Nobody should condone violence. That's all you got out of them. I want to know why Joe Biden didn't call Donald Trump immediately and say, you're going to get a full contingent of Secret Service just like I get every day.
Because they are the ones that are inciting this violence. I mean, you continue to call Donald Trump a threat to democracy. That's what she said during her during the debate. You continue to allow people to go out there and call, Trump a Hitler. And you look at some of the things that have been said by these media talking heads and pundits. I mean, I even saw one gentleman on one of these leftist news programs say that you got to put a bullet in Donald Trump. So if you're calling someone and denigrating and comparing them to Hitler, then eventually some of these deranged minds are going to do that. Look, I cannot understand how there was not an outer perimeter security sweep done of the Trump International Golf Course. And I lived in South Florida for 10 years after I retired, and that area was part of the congressional district that I represented, so I know that area very well. And why could they not do that simple task? This guy was there for 12 hours, okay? This was a planned ambush of the former president of the United States of America and Republican candidate. These are, shortfalls. These are failures in the Secret Service. And I'm not demonizing the individual agents because they're doing the best that they can do, but something with the leadership is not going right. And we have not heard from Alejandro Mayorkas, who heads up, he's the one that's in charge of the Secret Service with Homeland Security. So my recommendation to Donald Trump, go out there and get you a bunch of special operators, former pipe hitters, and just hire them as your security detail.
Yeah, I think that's a fantastic idea. I'm looking at some of these races across the country. I'm interested because you're now operating it down in Texas, and it's a border state. It's got a large number of immigrants, both legal and illegal, living down there. Hopefully none of the illegal ones are voting. But how are things shaping up down there? What's being done in Texas this election cycle?
Well, without a doubt, the most important thing for us, and I'm the chairman here in Dallas County, which is one of the large metroplexes here, the left has come into a state like Texas and taken over the major urban population centers, Dallas, Houston, Austin, San Antonio, El Paso, and we have to have the pushback against that. We've got to ensure that those illegals aren't voting. We've got to do what is necessary to go in and, you know, do a review of the voter registration, voter eligibility rolls. We have got the Dallas County Elections Administrator. Every single month, he has to post the updated voter eligibility roster. And our precinct chairs, they break that down and they go and they start to do a canvassing of some of the folks within those precincts. And we're finding out the quote-unquote ghost voters, the people that are there on the eligibility roster that don't belong. Another thing that's very disconcerting for us is that they're going to be registering homeless individuals here in Dallas County. They say that's part of the state law. So we're going to our state legislators. Say, hey, look, you cannot have homeless people registering to vote and, you know, voter registration cards showing up at soup kitchens and, you know, church shelters and things of this nature, because we're talking about people that don't have ID. Who's going to verify who's picking up these voter ID cards? But right. Without a doubt, we've got to focus on the issues. And again, we're getting into the different demographic backgrounds that a lot of times Republicans don't talk to. Yesterday, I was with the Kurdish Americans. We are having an event down in South Dallas with the Black community, Hispanic community, Ethiopian community, Indian community, Jewish community, with the American Jewish Conservatives just stood up here in Dallas, Texas, as well as some of the other communities, because we've got to get all of these people energized and understand that, you know, your safety and security and your future and education of your children is at risk.
Yeah, or we're all going to be Springfield, Ohio before long if we don't pay attention, right?
Yeah, and many of these cities all across the country are being overrun by the dumping of these illegal immigrants. And one of the things that I want to share with you, that please get it out to everyone, you have more single military age male illegals in this country right now than the entire active duty force of the United States Army. That should be very disturbing to Americans.
It is. First, I've heard that. That is disturbing. Lieutenant Colonel Alan West, always a pleasure having you on, my friend. Thank you.
Thank you. I'm sorry that I called on the wrong number.
No, don't worry about it. We made it work. We appreciate that. We've been rolling with the punches this morning. Thank you. Appreciate that.
Lieutenant, God bless.
Yeah, Lieutenant Colonel Alan West there on Carl Middleman's cell phone this morning. So that was perfect. Thank you for making that work, Carl.
There was
really
a way.
With how this morning has gone so far.
I'm telling you.
There was a way for me to call on the other line, but then he would have not heard us for 5 seconds.
Ah.
And I didn't want to risk that.
I appreciate that. We're holding the show together with piano wire this morning, but that's okay.
And choking ourselves with it.
Yeah, at the same time.
It sounded pretty good so far.
I thought so. Thank you. Most people wouldn't notice if we weren't complaining about it like children on the air.
That's true. That's
all right.
And the Rumble people.
The Rumble people were rumbling, but we got Rumble working too. I should say
grumbling.
Carl got Rumble working, so thank you, Carl.
Tomorrow, I cannot promise that.
No.
Or Friday.
Oh, come on. If you did it once, you can do it again.
Hey, I've done it twice. Tomorrow, third time's the charm.
All right. Coming up, Kim is off this week, but we're going to get to Scott on the spot when we come back here in just a minute. Stay tuned.
Not Kim on a whim, but Scott on the spot.
Scott on the spot is proudly brought to you by Missouri Brush Control. Enjoy your land the way you've always dreamed of. Visit MissouriBrushControl.com.
So yesterday, California Governor Gavin Newsom signed 3 bills into law to crack down on the use of AI deepfakes. One of them takes effect immediately, and it affects this year's presidential election. So 120 days before election day and 60 days after, it is illegal to create and publish deep fakes related to the candidates. So this is something that has gone back and forth between Newsom and Elon Musk. His response yesterday was, the Joker is in charge. And then there were also free speech groups who were blasting this, saying, some people may, of course, disseminate falsehoods. That's a problem as old as politics, as old as democracy, as old as speech.
Yeah.
The premise of the First Amendment is that it's for the press and public and civil society to sort that out. And this is what I believe. And it's going to be so hard to enforce this.
Who's the decider? Gavin Newsom?
I mean,
who decides what? I mean, if it's a, I have a problem. If it's a video showing Donald Trump's mouth moving and different words coming out than what he actually said, and it's deceptive, yeah, I'm all for taking those off social media.
Sure.
You shouldn't be doing stuff like that unless it's on a clear parody site where you're, you know, he's making him sing a song or something silly. But if it's something people could look at and think that's real, that's a problem. But if it's the words coming out of their mouth are real and you just don't like them, is Gavin Newsom using this law as an excuse to filter?
It's a fair question. Also, there's a second law that goes into effect in January, which requires social media platforms to enforce this stuff,
to take
it down. And how are they going to decide what's real and what's not? We're in this, you know, world, this web of AI right now that's very confusing in a lot of ways. And I get the idea of regulating this stuff somehow, but I believe that this might be overreaching and very hard to enforce and cause all kinds of other problems. Usually when a law like this is passed, it causes all kinds of unintended consequences, and it's a slippery slope.
Well, what I would see is, if you don't know where the server is, where your social media generates, if it's in the state of California, you might be affected by it because they're afraid of the law in the state of California, unless they're willing to move their company out of the state of California.
Yeah.
Right?
Right. And there's no federal law right now, but
right.
There are some proposals in Congress. In fact, yesterday, another bill was proposed. So eventually, there's probably going to be a federal law on this. But right now, this one, the only one that's taking effect immediately in California, is in regards to this election.
Because this is not as big a problem as they make it out to be. So they must be planning on using it for ulterior motives, ulterior reasons.
Right. That's the concern. And again, back to the idea of when they overregulate like this, there are all kinds of consequences you don't think about when the law goes into effect. And it's very much of a slippery slope.
Good point, Scott. Yeah. Trust me when I tell you, you do not want Gavin Newsom as your misinformation czar. But yes. That could happen under a Kamala Harris administration, just so you know. All right. Coming up, we are going to talk to, I hope, Alexandria Hoff, who's been covering Kamala Harris's gun statements. We'll be back.
Get more at 971talk.com.
Not Kim on a whim, but Scott on the spot.
Scott on the spot is proudly brought to you by Missouri Brush Control. Enjoy your land the way you've always dreamed of. Visit MissouriBrushControl.com.
So yesterday, California Governor Gavin Newsom signed three bills into law to crack down on the use of AI deepfakes. One of them takes effect immediately, and it affects this year's presidential election. So 120 days before Election Day and 60 days after, it is illegal to create and publish deepfakes related to the candidates. So this is something that has gone back and forth between Newsom and Elon Musk. His response yesterday was, the Joker is in charge. And then there were also free speech groups who were blasting this, saying some people may, of course, disseminate falsehoods. That's a problem as old as politics, as old as democracy, as old as speech.
Yeah.
The premise of the First Amendment is that it's for the press and public and civil society to sort that out. And this is what I believe. And it's going to be so hard to enforce this.
Who's the decider? Gavin Newsom? Who decides what? I mean, if it's a, I have a problem. If it's a video showing Donald Trump's mouth moving and different words coming out than what he actually said, and it's deceptive, yeah, I'm all for taking those off social media.
Sure.
You shouldn't be doing stuff like that unless it's on a clear parody site where you're, you know, he's making him sing a song or something silly. But if it's something people could look at and think that's real, that's a problem. But if it's the words coming out of their mouth are real and you just don't like them, is Gavin Newsom using this law as an excuse to filter?
It's a fair question. Also, there's a second law that goes into effect in January, which requires social media platforms to enforce this stuff,
to take
it down. And how are they going to decide what's real and what's not? We're in this, you know, world, this web of AI right now that's very confusing in a lot of ways. And I get the idea of regulating this stuff somehow, but I believe that this might be overreaching and very hard to enforce and cause all kinds of other problems. Usually when a law like this is passed, it causes all kinds of unintended consequences, and it's a slippery slope.
Well, what I would see is if you don't know where the server is, where your social media generates, if it's in the state of California, you might be affected by it because they're afraid of the law in the state of California, unless they're willing to move their company out of the state of California.
Yeah.
Right?
Right. And there's no federal law right now, but
right.
There are some proposals in Congress. In fact, yesterday, another bill was proposed. So eventually, there's probably going to be a federal law on this. But right now, this one, the only one that's taking effect immediately in California, is in regards to this election.
Because this is not as big a problem as they make it out to be. So they must be planning on using it for ulterior motives, ulterior reasons.
Right. That's the concern. And again, back to the idea of when they overregulate like this, there are all kinds of consequences you don't think about when the law goes into effect. And it's very much of a slippery slope.
It's good point, Scott. Yeah. Trust me when I tell you, you do not want Gavin Newsom as your misinformation czar. But yes. That could happen under a Kamala Harris administration, just so you know. All right. Coming up, we are going to talk to, I hope, Alexandria Hoff, who's been covering Kamala Harris's gun statements. We'll be back.
Get more at 971talk.com.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket. Follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.